You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Glad you could join us. 0868104106 is the place to text us, or you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Joined tonight by Tomás O'Leary, who's come back for a second week.
Yeah, look, like you said there, horrible conditions outside. I'd rather be tucked up in a nice warm studio talking about sport and criticising people rather than being out there doing it myself. So.
I brought my toe this week, Tomás.
Yeah, I know, you haven't stopped talking about it.
I'm not sure, I haven't mentioned it much this week.
Yeah, you're back doing the old martial arts.
Yeah, did jiu-jitsu, brought my toe just doing an exercise. I brought my toe this week. I'd imagine as a former professional rugby player, that's probably the worst injury you've ever had, is it?
Yeah, look, it's up there, like you said, when you've got your little kids at home treading on your toe. It's quite frustrating.
There was something about it this week. They must have sensed that I had a broken toe because they just seemed to gravitate towards it. I haven't been stamped on the feet as much in my entire life than I have been in the last 2 days since I brought my toe.
Well, when you got home from your training, I think you put your feet up straight away. You made your missus put on the dinner and cook for you, bring her tray and everything like so. I think the kids probably picked it up from that, all right?
I have been milking it a tad. I'm not sure how much more I'm going to get away with it because it's not all that sore.
Yeah, I don't think us men have a high pain threshold.
I certainly don't, anyway.
So, look, enjoy it while you can. Lap up all the attention.
All right, a broken toe is the worst injury I've ever had. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I suppose the week I got picked for the Lions in 2009, the name
sorry
was...
to be dredging up some horrible memories there now. Like.
I've just gotten over it after intensive psychology. It's taken me about 6 years, but I was there until you brought it back up.
Sorry, buddy.
So yeah, obviously a while ago now, 2009, yeah. Once they were flying, had a good Six Nations with Ireland, yeah. And they named the Lions squad on a Wednesday. I think there was a crazy amount of Munster players picked.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 or 9, which was phenomenal. And obviously we played in Musgrave Park then on the Friday night, in the Celtic League at the time. And it was their number 8 came off the back of a scrum, and obviously I was coming around to tackle him, and his entire weight and Davis Wallace's entire weight came down on my leg, so I basically broke the tib and fib and dislocated my ankle. So that was the worst. Well, in terms of pain, I suppose it wasn't too bad at the time.
You must have blacked out from the pain, I said, did you?
No, I genuinely didn't. It was okay. I just looked down and my sock was hanging. It wasn't the pain. It was just the realization that my potential of going to the Lions tour was gone.
Oh, man.
So that's why it was the worst, really.
Yeah.
And I suppose there was a 9-month recovery period too. So like it kind of probably affected me for a while. It probably never was the same player after that, to be honest with you. So yeah, that's the worst.
So what you're saying is that's slightly worse than my broken toe.
Yeah, but I had no kids running around at the time annoying me and kicking me in the shins or anything like that, so I feel your pain.
Alright, if you want to get in touch with us, as I said, 0868104106 is the place to get in touch with us. Alright, we're going to start with Tomás's roundup.
Yeah, so Cork are currently in action in the McGrath Cup final, and the score there is Limerick 10 points, Cork 6 points. And Cork and Limerick are also going ahead in the Munster Hurling League final tonight at 7:30, so both of those games are in the Gaelic rounds. Defending champions Westmeath have been beaten 16 points to 11 by Offaly in the semi-finals of football's Bournemouth Burn Cup. Meanwhile, Longford also beat Dublin on a scoreline of 113-36 to book their place in the decider. So all these early kind of season games seem to be getting decent attendances.
Yeah, I think people are just star for GAA. It's something to do over the winter, I think. I mean, like, I'm not sure what the crowd is like up in the Gaelic grounds, but I think people just want to get out and start supporting their counties again, and suppose it's good.
Yeah, see how prospective new managers or coaches are
getting and systems
as well.
And players and all that. I mean, like, speaking of players coming back, I mean, like, Kieran Sheehan's back for Cork today after a 6-year absence. So we're going to talk to Dennis Hurley in a bit. He's up there covering the match for us. We're going to see how Kieran's playing in the half forward end today.
Good stuff. And on to Premier League football. And the final Premier League game of the day has gotten underway. It's still scoreless between Tottenham and Liverpool at the new White Hart Lane stadium there, and there's half an hour gone in that.
Not much to report there, really. Liverpool had a chance early on that hit the post, and Tottenham scrambled to clear. Tottenham haven't really gone forward much in this game. They kind of just proper Mourinho style, kind of just two banks of four, just went hitting the counter, but you'd imagine it's only a matter of time before Liverpool score their class. As the resident Tottenham fan in the Big Red Bench, actually, how did you feel about Mourinho's appointment?
Yeah, I liked Pochettino, and I felt obviously what he achieved with Spurs, bringing us to Champions League final, and obviously being kind of top three team for the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that should have been rewarded.
He never got the backing from the board or the support in the transfer market, did he?
Yeah, no, and it's strange. Obviously, Levy has been traditionally very, very kind of slow to spend money. Obviously, a new stadium, it's very impressive and how Spurs have progressed, but maybe to kick on and be a Champions League winner and then obviously win in the Premier League, you need to spend. So, yeah, I guess that's probably one of the reasons why Pochettino was probably frustrated and happy to go in the end, although obviously he was sacked. So, look, I think Mourinho, as you know, hasn't been probably the best of managers over the last few years in terms of his dealings with the media, how he's conducted himself really on the sideline. Yeah. Obviously, I thought he was a breath of fresh air initially in the Premier League with that Chelsea team.
Yeah.
And played great football, but since he seems to have adapted a more negative style of play. Even.
Whinging even, like, you know, I mean, like, it's only a matter of time before he starts kind of win. He's on a kind of a charm offensive, I suppose, with Tottenham at the minute.
Well, to an extent, like, but no, so I would much prefer to see Pochettino stay, but look, that's life. I think United's just snap him up, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, we were speaking about this off air. It's kind of, Pochettino's just sitting at home clicking his heels. I mean, like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will get you to a certain level, but he's not going to win you a league. He's not going to win you a Premier League, is he?
No, exactly. And just in terms of experience, dealing with players, the transfer market, you look at the likes of Eriksen and these guys talking about leaving Spurs. You know, and if you want a top-class striker like Harry Kane, if you had Pochettino in charge, obviously that relationship would be worth its weight in gold when you're in the transfer market. So, look, I don't think Mourinho is going to lead United for the...
Liverpool have just gone ahead there. Roberto Firmino with a goal from about 12 yards. Tottenham 0, Liverpool 1, 36 and a half minutes on the clock. That was coming, Tomás. We're watching it here in the studio as the show progresses. If there's dead air and later, we're watching the match, basically.
Yeah, like you said, though, like Mourinho style, sitting back, and look, you can't invite this Liverpool team on you.
They are class, aren't they?
Yeah, no, 100%. So look, it doesn't augur well for the rest of the game. So look, it looks like the Reds can go 16 points clear the top of the table with a win here. That's because Leicester City were beaten 2-1 by Southampton at the King Power Stadium earlier on, with goals from Saints Stuart Armstrong and Danny Ings.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers there, who says the Foxes were well short of their usual level.
Okay. We didn't quite find it defensively today. Normally very solid and strong and compact, but weren't that. And then with the ball, we couldn't make our passes and we couldn't penetrate as well as we do. So congratulations to Southampton. It's a good win for them. It looked like it was going to be a draw up until late on, and then they get the winner.
Elsewhere in 3 o'clock games, Chelsea beat Burnley 3-0 at Stamford Bridge thanks to a Jorginho penalty and goals from Tammy Abraham and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Everton got back to winning ways with a 1-0 victory over Brighton at Goodison Park, with Richarlison finding the back of the net in the first half for the Toffees. And Manchester United enjoyed a 4-0 win over Norwich, with Marcus Rashford finding the back of the net twice, as well as Anthony Martial and Mason Greenwood. Cork's Adamida started for Norwich, playing 65 minutes.
Yeah, it was a tough day for him. Obviously, he didn't see much of the ball, but great to see him make his first Premier League start at Old Trafford. VAR is actually checking for a possible handball here in the build-up to this Liverpool goal. Can't see where there is a handball, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, the goal stands. Tottenham 0, Liverpool 1. But yeah, tough day at the office for Norwich, who were well below par against Manchester United today. Manchester United, I suppose, bouncing back in style after that hammering. Well, 3-1 a hammering. It felt like a hammering in the League Cup earlier on in the week against Man City at home at Old Trafford. So United back to winning ways there, and some nice goals there too.
Yeah, and Wolves and Newcastle played out a 1-1 draw in the Molyneux, while Crystal Palace and Arsenal drew 1-1 in the day's early game. Locally, both Munster senior league games fell foul of the weather today, so Douglas Hall and Middleton, along with Cove Wanderers versus Rockmount, were called off this afternoon.
Yeah, it was absolutely abysmal this afternoon. Absolutely, I was coming to work today, I got soaked coming out of the car and coming into work, so no surprise that those matches were called off just that time of the year, I guess. But hopefully weather won't be playing havoc with the fixtures going forward.
And then Republic of Ireland under-21 manager Stephen Kenny feels football has been treated like a minority sport in Ireland over the last 2 decades. The Munster Centre of Excellence at Glanmire was granted almost €4 million from the government's large-scale sport infrastructure fund, but it was the only football project to receive funding. Kenny was asked about the situation on Virgin Media Sport.
It opens everyone's eyes to say, in comparison to other sports, over the last 20 years, We've been sort of very much, even though we're the biggest sport and the majority sport, you know, we've been treated like a minority sport.
It's fantastic to see that funding go ahead. It would be fantastic to see that Glanmire project go ahead for not just Cork, but for the entire region. It would obviously benefit Cork City hugely. It would become their training base as well. And Pat Lyons, former Cork City chairman, there's tremendous credit for the work he's done so far on that project. But fingers crossed it does come to fruition, because it would be a fantastic shot in the arm for football in this city and indeed in this province.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose in terms of media attention, Stephen's probably right. I suppose locally, you know, the GAA and rugby do garner a lot of that attention. But as you said, look, still majority sport in terms of participation and numbers. So hopefully the government will help the FAI and I suppose get a structured plan whereby the money is invested properly and we can see the results of that then in future.
Actually, Munster got a good whack of funding there as well for their indoor facility at Musgrave Park, which would be a fantastic facility, I suppose, not just for, I suppose, Munster and the academy, but I mean, like all the other clubs around the area as well.
No, absolutely. I think it's important to maintain, you know, that identity of Munster. You know, Cork is the largest city in the province. You know, hopefully you're going to see a high percentage of players from Cork going on to play and represent Munster in future level.
I felt maybe Munster lost a little bit of that Corkness when they moved their training base from Cork to Limerick, if you get me, you know.
Yeah, look, I know I'm biased and I'm from Cork, but I would have preferred to have a training centre in Cork, like in terms of all the facilities, in terms of stuff you don't even think about, obviously universities for lads studying early days, employment for wives and girlfriends, I suppose more access to hospitals. There's an airport in Cork. I suppose obviously it's your central business district for the Munster region. So in terms of sponsorship and the commercial activity, I think there's an opportunity wasted there. Obviously the office itself still sits in Cork, but we could always have had the training centre in Cork and you still play your games in Thomond Park. Yeah. That's never going to change. Thomond Park's always going to be the home of Munster Rugby itself. So I just felt we missed an opportunity there, and I just felt it would have been a better mix, really.
And the training base at CIT was decent, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they put in a good bid too. But I guess, look, it comes down to the finance and facilities, and obviously I wasn't privy to exactly what was bid, but I think a few of the Limerick players, the Limerick mafia, like Axel at the time and Paulie and these guys and Flannery, really pushed it from their end. Look, I think they won the day there anyway.
Yeah.
So look, obviously on to rugby, and Connacht's hopes of qualifying for the knockout stages of the Champions Cup have ended. They've been beaten 21-7 by Toulouse in the sports ground. The Westerners only score came free of a penalty try in the first half, and this result means that the French side now have a home quarter final to look forward to as they continue to bid to win the competition for the fifth time.
We were watching this. I mean, Toulouse had a man sent off the end of the game with 13 players after a yellow card, but Connacht, anytime they got near the line, just that Toulouse defence just kept them out. They were so resilient.
Yeah, physically very impressive team, and I suppose traditionally Toulouse would have been a very flash team, great to watch, but their scrum destroyed Connacht on a good few occasions, won 3 or 4 penalties in the scrum as well, so they seem to have that kind of that bit of strength up front as well to add to the quality they have in the back line. So look, they could be a potential contender to rival Leinster, really. Obviously Leinster are hot favourites at the moment for the competition.
Yeah, we'll get a goal update actually now from White Hart Lane. Joe Rawson watching at Tottenham and Liverpool.
Tottenham Hotspur 0 Liverpool 1. The Premier League leaders have finally nudged their noses in front. Roberto Firmino, the man who has got it, his 9th goal of the season, after good work in the Tottenham penalty area by Mo Salah. He had his back to goal, so couldn't get the shot away. Instead he laid it off to Firmino, a couple of touches by him, and he fired it across the face of goal into the bottom left hand corner. It gave Tottenham goalkeeper Pablo Gazzaniga absolutely no chance. Tottenham 0 Liverpool 1.
And Liverpool's certainly not sitting on the laurels here, Tomas. They're going for a second, and you can see they've been on the attack since they've scored that goal.
Yeah, look, like we said, Mourinho set up and with a very deep Tottenham team. I think the starting lineup is 3 at the back, but really it's 4 or 5.
They've all 11 players behind the ball,
with the midfield dropping back deep as well. Yeah, so they're look, Mourinho, he'll keep it that way till maybe 60 minutes until he has to push on and get an equaliser and try and get back into the game. And back to the rugby, Leinster, of course, hosting Leon and having already qualified for the final stage of the knockout stage of the Heineken Cup this weekend. So Leo Cullen has said there's good news in around Johnny Sexton. He's returned to his running training. Obviously, the Irish out half is stepping up his recovery from a knee injury picked up in Leinster's win against Northampton last month. And Cullen says he's confident that Sexton will be fit for the start of Six Nations.
Now, as we're going to preview the Six Nations, a bit more depth as we come closer to it. But I mean, like, how vital is it for this Irish team that Sexton is A, 100% and B, fully fit for this?
Very important, I think, at this stage.
Makes that team tick, doesn't he? If he's not playing, then Ireland don't play.
Yeah, look, to an extent, I think we need to get an alternative, though, as well. We can't just rely on Johnny Sexton for the next 4 years, bring him to World Cup again. He has, I suppose, given the nature of rugby, and I guess Johnny's recent injury kind of history as well, we definitely need an alternative. And I suppose Joey Carberry was being lined up as his heir apparent, but he's had his own, I suppose, tribulations with injury recently. I think Byrne at Leinster, I think, has been very impressive, and I think he's probably going to be the go-to man if Johnny isn't fit. So look, we need to Andy Farrell, the new squad, he needs to find maybe someone else, and we can't be relying on Johnny Sexton for the next 4 years. There's a massive day of basketball in Leaside today, with the Hula Hoops National Cup semi-finals taking place. Among the ties in the Pat Duffy Men's National Cup, Colin CNS Neptune face Temple Oak. That's in Neptune Stadium at 8. In the Paddy O'Connor Cup, Ambassador UCC Glanmire have lost to Killester 82-79. That's how it finished in Neptune. While Singleton Super Value Brunel take on DCU Mercy at 6. Tradhoe Central Ballincollig, meanwhile, have made it to the third President's Cup final in a row. They defeated LYIT in the parochial hall this afternoon.
All right, we're going to talk Gaelic Games half-time now at the Gaelic Grounds, and it's Limerick who lead Cork at the break. Dennis Hurley is there at it. And Dennis, how was the first half from a Cork perspective?
Not great, Rory. You come to us here at half-time, it's 12-8 for Limerick. Limerick have played very well, to be fair. They've had 9 different scorers and they didn't have a wide until the 32nd minute. Cork started well and then they led early on, but overall it's been kind of sloppy. They haven't made the most of the opportunities and they've found themselves frustrated by a strong Limerick effort so far.
Obviously, Kieran Sheehan back in the Cork starting lineup today, Dennis, after a 6-year absence. How's he been featuring? And I imagine there's an element of ring rust with him, is there?
Well, Kieran did play against Kerry a couple of weeks ago, but obviously it does take time to readapt to get a football. So we say he's found a tougher time, so he got a point coming up to half time there. So hopefully that will bode for a better second half for him and for Cork, I suppose. Looking at the big picture, you'd wonder how much it does matter to win this, but obviously, you know, Cork will be thinking of in terms of just momentum and the guys pushing for places who have been given a chance looking to kind of stake their claim. So, it's not one that you want to be giving up lightly. You'd expect an improvement from Cork in the second half, but Limerick have certainly been going well in the first period, and it'll be difficult for Cork if Limerick can keep up their level of performance.
All right, Dennis, cheers for that. My check-in with you closer to 7 o'clock.
All right, thanks, Rob.
That's Dennis Hurley there at the Gaelic Grounds for us tonight.
We caught up with Gary Spike O'Sullivan last week. He, of course, returns to action tonight. The Mahanate faces unbeaten Jaime Moon Gia in the Almador in Texas. And that's due. They're due in the ring there about 4 o'clock Irish time. About getting up for that, Roy?
Yeah, I've got the alarm setting all for 3:30. So it's not been picked up by any Irish or UK TV stations, unfortunately. So I'll have to look for other sources to watch Spike tonight. Can't really say too much about that. But hopefully Spike can get the win tonight. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. We'll hear from Spike, who Oscar De La Hoya called the best dressed man in boxing. So we'll hear from Spike a little bit, and we'll hear from Paddy Collins as well, his coach. But up against it tonight, big bout. But look, you never ever count Spike O'Sullivan out.
Fingers crossed. And onto golf, Shane Lowry is 6 shots off the lead after 3 rounds of the rescheduled Hong Kong Open. The Offaly man lost ground on leader Wade Ormsby after shooting a 68 to move to 7 under par. 2017 winner Ormsby will take a 2-shot lead into tomorrow's final round at 13 under. on to tennis now, and the US Open tennis champion Bianca Andreescu has withdrawn from the Australian Open due to knee injury. The Canadian picked up the problem at the WTA finals in October. Andreescu beat Serena Williams at Flushing Meadows this month before to win her maiden Grand Slam title. And then the NFL playoffs happening tonight. The San Francisco 49ers take on the Minnesota Vikings at 9:35, and then at 1:15 a.m. the Baltimore Ravens host the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I might watch a bit of that when I'm waiting for Spike's fight tonight. As well, just Energy League results as well from today. In 1A, finished Lansdowne 19, UCC 18, Cork Con 18, Young Munster 3, Shannon 31, Highfield 13 and 1B. In 2A, finished Baron Hall 21, Dolphin 3, and 2C Sunday as well 19, Omagh 7, and City of Derry 10, Middleton 6. And it is half time at the new White Hart Lane, and Liverpool leading by a goal to nil thanks to that Roberto Firmino goal after 37 minutes. Now, we are going to start the show by talking about rugby and Munster's big game today against Racing. We get to Moss's thoughts on that in a sec, but first we're going to hear from the captain, Peter O'Mahony, looking ahead to the game.
Yeah, it's very unique. Obviously an indoor stadium is something that we're not very accustomed to, but the last time we played there was certainly it was an entertaining game, it was a quick game. It's hot, it's almost irrelevant how many people are in the building. There's a kind of an incredible atmosphere there, and we're 100% looking forward to it. We know that we have to win if we want to stay in the competition, and that puts pressure on itself, but that's what we love is pressure and put ourselves in situations that we have to perform if we want to continue in the competition. Their set piece is probably one of the best that we've come up against so far. Line of defence is excellent. Probably one of the best line of defence teams in the world. Maul, their power plays are tough to stop, and they get momentum, and then, as you said, broken field stuff, they're hard to stop. So again, we need to have learned a lot over the last few weeks and put in probably our best performance of the season to get a result over here. We've a huge week ahead of us. We're unbelievably excited to get stuck in. Certainly, guys, we were disappointed on Monday coming in, but we've been in these situations before. You have a poor week. You have to put that to one side if you have any hope of training well, getting prepared to play one of the best teams in Europe, and that's what we've done. We've had a great 3 days training. Obviously, with a 9 day turnaround, or 9 days, 8 or 9 days, gives us that little bit more of a window. We've a bit longer. We kind of got ahead of ourselves on Monday, which was good. We got all our reviews done, and we put that to bed, and still had the full week to get prepared, which was important. But excitement is the word I'd use to describe the group's mind.
Yeah, it's Peter O'Mahony there speaking ahead of tomorrow's clash with Racing. When you were playing Tomas, I mean, like, what was the build up like to a Highland Cup Champions Cup game like compared to a regular Pro 12, Pro 14 game? I mean, like, can you sense the difference? Is there a different buzz going into games like this?
Yeah, it's chalk and cheese. I suppose Munster's identity really was built on the Highland Cup, and I suppose the reputation, and I suppose the likes of Ron O'Gara, Paulie, Axel, Mick Galway, all these greats before him, they cut their claw and I suppose built that connection with the supporters in the Champions Cup, in the Highland Cup. So I suppose Munster has an affinity and a history in this competition, and I suppose the time I played at Munster, we kind of really focused on that, and that was the holy grail, the Pro 12 or the champion, the Celtic League or whatever it was called at the time. Didn't really come into our thinking. Look, obviously we go to win the games, but if you didn't win the Highland Cup at the end of the season, it was a failure. So just intensity was ramped up, fellas were on edge, and it was all kind of driven by Paulie, really, or Axel, or whoever was the skipper at the time.
So would you notice a difference in training with fellas be kind of like hitting harder, working harder, kind of like more G'd up, I suppose?
Yeah, more focused tension, and even the meetings, everyone, there was no messing, no. Whereas standards, like you said, definitely the sharpness in training, the physicality went up, fellas were on edge. There was occasionally, there was a lot of the time, there was a scrap or two, like, and I think secretly coaches, whether it was Decky or whoever, coaches were delighted when they saw that bit of bite,
yeah,
and bit of conflict there. But look, fellas would tear into each other, and you know, we'd make them kiss and make up at the end of the session,
yeah,
and you'd have to park it there. But fellas didn't hold back in those weeks. But it's Champions Cup, Heineken Cup is what it's all about, and you know, it's these weekends that you do miss playing for Munster. That, you know, like Peter said there, you know, it's all on the line. You're going away from home, you're up against it. Hopefully there'll be a good travelling Munster support.
There always is.
There always is, exactly. But these are the days you want to put on Munster jersey. And look, obviously the recent form hasn't been good enough, but there's hope there that, you know, the likes of Murray, these guys can step up their game, and like we know they can. And maybe Munster can produce, a famous win over in Paris.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But as you say, Munster certainly up against it tomorrow. They'll go into the game as massive underdogs. But maybe is that when Munster kind of perform best, really?
Strangely, it might be. Speaking to one or two of my former teammates, one or two might have questioned, you know, the, whether it's publicly or privately, the want and the desire of these players, and I suppose the fans would be questioned that occasionally, but I genuinely think that these lads are training every bit as hard as we did. They're invested every bit as much as we are. They want to be successful. It's just maybe that they're being constantly compared to the Munster team of old, and if you're not as successful as them, you're a failure.
Yeah.
I suppose Peter Armani, since he's been captain, Conor Murray hasn't won anything as a Munster player, so it's probably starting to weigh heavily on these guys,
yeah,
and the pressure compounds itself year on year. So I suppose looking back, whenever I did play for Munster, there was a full international pack in front of me, and if we're struggling to throw the ball out to Rod, he pings it in front of you,
yeah,
50 yards down the field, the pack is going forward. So like, unfortunately, that isn't there at the moment. There's not a full international pack. You know, we're not capable of beating up teams anymore. So I think the way forward, hopefully, tomorrow will be to try and utilise the skill set of our back three. Obviously, Haley's having a brilliant year. Keith Earls, Andrew Conway are in flying form. Like, hopefully the surface will suit these guys.
It's an artificial surface there, isn't it?
Artificial surface, 4G, perfect conditions for running rugby. Obviously, indoor stadium, obviously, it does get a bit sweaty in there, so ball might be a bit slippy. But I think the way we need to progress, and Munster probably need to push the boat out and try and, I suppose, utilise our skill set, get the ball in our fast, quick, elusive players, and try and maybe go around harassing or go through them, rather than trying to physically dominate a team. Like, I suppose when we got to the big games, the likes of Saracens over the last few years, Racing Metro, Leinster, we haven't been able to physically dominate teams,
yeah,
and thus we've lost the game. So I think hopefully we can try and attack them a bit more and utilise the skills that we have in the back line.
The big talking point this week to us was the out half position. Joe Carberry obviously out injured after picking up a hand injury. He's out for 4 months after undergoing surgery. JJ Hannon was rated as 50-50 on Wednesday with a hamstring issue. He's come through to be named in the starting 15. How big is that from Munster, and if you're a Racing player, would you be going out to target JJ tomorrow?
I don't think you necessarily target him. I suppose the question is going to be around JJ's physical capability himself, whether he can go 100% attack the line. You know, like, he's obviously great at attacking the line when he is at full pace. Whether he can kick to 100%, kick, whether it's kicking a touch, kicking a goal. So the question's going to be in his head, really. Look, I think given the scenario, it's a must-win game. See, Carberry isn't an option. Tyler Brendel's out injured. Regardless of whether he's fully fit or not, he's starting. The likes of Ben Healy, who was added to the Champions Cup squad, hasn't been exposed. He's at one game. So
yeah, it would have been too big to throw him in, I think, tomorrow, would it?
Yeah, unless JJ was 50%. And if JJ is about 75%, he plays. And then, look, you can whip him off if his hamstring goes again. Move Scannell probably from 12 to 10. Obviously, he's had experience playing 10 in the past. He's a ball playing 12. So, look, that's obviously the route they're going. Look, the only kind of hope I'd have is, look, that JJ's recovered well. And obviously his form this season has been fantastic. The only blip, obviously, is him missing the opportunity to drop goal to kill off Racing in the Thomond Park. But he dragged him back into the game, setting up Conway's try, and he nailed the goal line third conversion. Made kind of a couple of line breaks in that game. So, look, his form is there. It's just whether his physical capability is back to 100%.
All right, we're just going to take a quick break. Actually, before we do that, we are going to get a halftime report from White Hart Lane. Liverpool leading Tottenham 1-0. Joe Rawson.
Firmino's ninth goal of the campaign. The difference between the two teams after he was set up by Mo Salah, a ferocious shot into the bottom left corner across the face of goal that gave Paulo Gazzaniga absolutely no chance. Liverpool haven't had it all their own way though. They did hit the post through Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in the second minute, but Spurs have looked lively on the break through Ali, Son and Moura, but they do need to test Alisson a lot more in the Liverpool goal during the second half. If they're to stop the league leaders setting a record for the most points for games played from the start of the season. Half time, Tottenham 0, Liverpool 1.
Right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our preview of Munster versus Racing.
The Big Red Bench.
Game on.
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Glad you're joining us on the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. Rory O'Hagan and Tomás O'Leary here with you until 7 o'clock. Second half has just gotten underway at the new White Hart Lane. Tottenham 0, Liverpool 1. We're previewing Munster versus Racing, their massive Champions Cup game. Tomorrow going to hear more from Tomás on that in just a bit. First though, going to hear from the boss, Jan van Graan.
Be okay.
Yeah, look, there's a feeling of excitement in the camp. We took responsibility as a group on Monday morning after that performance against Ulster. That was uncharacteristic from our side, and we got dominated up front, and we move on. We felt that we've done really well in Europe. We were one drop kick away from beating Racing at home in a fantastic game of rugby. We got the 5 points away against the Ospreys, and the two Saracens games were massive games, and we had an opportunity to gain a point against Saracens at the end, which we didn't use. And after that, we always knew this was going to be a huge game. We felt against Connacht we really did well. The Leinster game was in the balance until the last minute, and on Friday night we didn't perform. So no, we don't need to rebuild our confidence. We're a confident group, we're a tight group, we know what we're about, and we're really looking forward to Sunday afternoon. I'd say 50-50 is a good way to put it. Most important thing is he wants to be ready. He's an experienced 10. He knows that the team needs him for possibly 80 minutes, so he knows that he needs to be 100% right to perform, and he'll always put the team first. If he's ready on Friday and his body is ready, he'll tell us that he's ready. If not, he'll put the team first, and then it's the next man up. Like I said, we as a group, we back whoever's in, and Ben has grown quite a lot over the last few weeks. He's been in all the game day warm-ups and he's part of the squad. And now Rory have trained there. We've been in this position now for quite a bit, that we've literally had one fly-off. And when we went 6-2, Rory was as a cover in any case. So it's not something new for the team. So now we'll just back whoever's in that position on Sunday afternoon. No, I've always been impressed by Racing. They've got a fantastic club and an incredible squad. If you look at those names, it's a world team. Certain parts of their game are, in my view, I've said it before, the best in Europe, possibly in the world. Their line-out contesting is incredible. And they play with a lot of speed, and they've got a lot of big moments, so incredible club. We always knew this was going to be a tough pool, and we learned quite a lot the last time that we were in Paris 2 years ago. Incredible game of rugby again, fast, warm, noise, very different to what's currently outside in Limerick. So we're really looking forward to it, and we know that for this season's European campaign, it's a knockout game for us. So if we want to progress any further in this competition for this year, we'll have to win on Sunday.
Yeah, it's Johan van Graan. They're certainly under no illusions as to the size of the task facing Munster tomorrow when they kick off at 3:15 at the La Defense Arena, which we were looking at today, Tomás. It's an incredible facility, isn't it? The Examiner described it as playing rugby in a disco.
Yeah, I think they did an interview obviously with Sebo and Donica Ryan, and Donica Ryan said it was like playing in a nightclub. I think I've seen him in action in nightclubs, and it's not a pretty sight. So no, but I obviously caught up with Donica a few times when he gets back home, and he absolutely loves it.
Yeah,
Says it's obviously unique.
It's probably this massive drama and theatre, and it's dripping with atmosphere every time I look at it.
Exactly, and you know, sometimes when if there's a stadium half empty or whatever, you know, it can really take from the atmosphere and the occasion of a game. But obviously with all the, you know, the kind of the videos and all the big I think it's a big 40 screen, by 20 meter screen or something.
It's like a massive cinema with a rugby pitch in the middle of it.
I know Zeebo enjoys seeing his face in that anyway. He's certainly not afraid of the attention, but look, it looks like an incredible place to play. I only played in their old stadium, the Stade de Manoir, which was they did a little track around it, like an old school rugby stadium, which was probably benefit of atmosphere too. But this place looks incredible. So look, the buzz that the Munster lads will have playing in that, and like I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, the ground, the actual artificial surface, there'll be no excuses, I think, for not playing good attacking rugby.
Yeah, forgive me now for asking this. Obviously, I'm not a professional athlete. I've never played in arenas like this. But, I mean, like, you've obviously played in some spectacular places during your career. Is it easy to get distracted by just looking around at your surroundings? Are you that focused on the game?
No, I think the better the surroundings, like, the more of a buzz you get. Like, the best stadium I ever played in, bar none, is the Millennium Stadium, or the Principality, as they call it now. Obviously, we're privileged to play there. We won a couple of Heineken Cups there, and the Grand Slam there. But it's just it's like the old school Coliseum. It just goes very vertical straight away, and obviously with the stadium roof can be closed too. But phenomenal atmosphere. The crowd is right on you, and there's whatever 70,000-80,000 people on top of you. Incredible place to play. Like, literally, but you're so focused on whatever you're doing in the time of the game that you forget about it. The odd time then when, you know, there's a reaction from the crowd whatever, there's a break in play, you the odd time you say, oh, that's pretty cool, definitely. First time I ever played in Crow Park, actually, it was as a minor. I think it was 2000, and it was being redeveloped at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So you had one kind of section of the thing but so I ran out and we were facing the section was being redeveloped, and I kind of looked back and the vast vast nature of the stand took me back, to be honest with you. So that was the first time I ever kind of experienced on a pitch. So I suppose you just get used to it, and it's just become standard. Like, so, but looking back now, you're privileged to play in so many great stadiums, and. And obviously Thomond Park being one of them too. And the older Thomond Park probably was a bit more special than the newer Thomond. The old Anton Road played there too, which was cool. So yeah, look, I think it'll be a great experience for the Munster lads this weekend.
Speaking of Simon Zeebo, he doesn't play tomorrow because of an ankle injury. I'd imagine he's quite annoyed that he's not facing Munster tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously playing against your old team, it's always nice to, you know, to put a marker down as to how you're progressing. You know, he still wants to be probably in the reckoning for an Irish team eventually. He'd love to play with Ireland again, probably. Yeah.
Probably should have been playing with Ireland all along.
Exactly. Who's to say he might not come back to Munster as well? So, look, he obviously wants to show about his talent. but I suppose, look, we probably missed that from Munster. You know, he was a marquee name for a local Cork boy who all the fans, all the kids want to see and want to talk to. So look, hopefully now he gets back fit pretty quick, and well, hopefully they don't progress, but if Racing progress, we'll see him in the latter stage of competition. But yeah, look, it's a pity Zeebo's not playing, and big surprise too maybe that Donica Ryan isn't named in the starting 15. But I know that he's played a hell of a lot of rugby over the last 2-3 years, So there's been a lot of injuries in the second row outside of Donica.
Yeah.
Obviously, Inakawara went to AWOL after the World Cup, and his contract was ripped up. He's gone to Glasgow now. So I think they're kind of lighting off in numbers in terms of in the second row. So they're probably minding him to an extent. And if he needs to come on with 20 minutes, half an hour to go to steady things up, they'll do that. So good experience to have on the bench.
All right. Where is the key area for Munster tomorrow? I mean, like, where's the one area that you think that they can get at, Racing?
I think the strength of this Munster team is in the back three. And obviously Chris Farrell in the centre too. If those guys can hit form, if we can get Keith Earls, Mike Haley, Andrew Conway on the ball with a bit of space, I think we can cause them trouble. And the whole stadium, the pitch lends itself to that. I think if we get involved in an arm wrestle, in a tete-a-tete with our pack, I think we'd probably come out second best. And you look at their squad, you know, I think the benches will play a big part, and that's probably my biggest fear is the experience they have on the bench. You know, they've like the Gomez in the front row to come on, Donna Corrine, like we spoke about in the second row, and they have a French international in Maxime Machinot to come on at nine. So the experience they have in their squad coming off the bench might just tip it in their favour, and that's my fear.
Now we're going to round off our preview audio with Chris Farrell.
Yeah, massive. Like, and from an individual point of view, it's putting yourself up against quality opposition, and you know, we'll have to deal well with what's in front of us, and I'll have to deal well with Fakatawa and Shivansi and Finn Russell and the threats that they pose. So, you know, it's massive for us, and we know it's massive for the whole province and all of our supporters and, you know, everyone behind the scenes. So we'll certainly be putting our best foot forward as much as we can throughout the week to lead into the best performance we possibly can do. Well, it obviously helps this week that we have a 9-day turnaround. You know, we've had one or two days to nail things down detail-wise. We had a walkthrough on Monday, because we have the extra day, we could spend a little bit more time on indoor stuff. So it does help. And then it's really just a case of looking after yourself until the week. You know, so if we get our detail done early in the week and we have the opportunity to do it this week, then come Friday, Saturday, we can start to think about just what's going to take physically, what's going to take mentally to get right for the game. So no, we'll be okay.
Was that a Cork accent there I heard from Chris Farrell at the start? Massive, like.
Yeah, I think he's hanging around now with the Cork lads too much since he's
come massive
down.
Like, and
yeah, there it is, massive, like.
It's good to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to hear. He's obviously fully betting himself into the Munster ethos. Prediction time, Tomás. I know you're probably going to say with your heart that Munster will win tomorrow, but realistically, I mean, like, how do you see the game going tomorrow?
I suppose, look, you stack up, everything's stacked up against Munster, the injuries, their recent form. I suppose the strength and depth that Racing have as well. But the only hope I have is, you know, the games between Munster and Racing Metro have been really kind of very tight in recent years. Even over there in Paris as well, they've been one score game. So that gives me hope. But look, just given all the evidence, unfortunately, I'm going to probably have to side with a Racing win. But look, it's not without hope, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if you could see Munster pull off a massive upset.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. We'll review the game tomorrow with your old colleague Johnny Holland.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I was chatting to Johnny during the week, so we're going to catch up with him after the game, and look, hopefully we'll be celebrating a Munster win.
Fingers crossed. All right, just update from the Gaelic grounds in the McGrath Cup final. Limerick still leading Cork. It's 16 points to 14 now is how it stands at the moment. There's about 4 minutes left to go in that game. There, the Hurlers, of course, in action at 7:30 as they take on Limerick in the Munster Hurling League final. Earlier on in the week, UCC won the Cannon O'Brien Cup against Cork by a single point. UCC beginning their Fitzgibbon Cup defence tomorrow as they take on NUI Galway. We'll have reaction from that game and from the footballers in the Sigerson Cup as well. But Ryan Grace was in the Marlick for us earlier in the week. He spoke to UCC's Noel Furlong.
Yeah, look, that was a great workout. Look, our focus is fully on Sunday. We're playing NUIG above in Dengan on Sunday, so tonight was part of the preparation for that. And you know, it was a good workout. Cork had a strong team out. You know, it was great to get our lads. We haven't had them, you know, that often, so it's a good workout. good competitive game, and look, everyone came through unscathed, which is great for us going forward to the weekend.
That's great. And just in terms of preparing for the weekend, you're obviously happy with how you lined out tonight, how it went tactically. In the first half, you were very much in control, you'd say.
Look, I suppose Cork had an early goal, and we were kind of thinking, you know, we might be under pressure. But in fairness to our lads, you know, they're used to playing together at this stage, and they're very composed. So, you know, we just kind of built from there, got a couple of scores, and you know, we were certainly very happy at half time with the performance of the team. And you know, we made quite a few changes in the second half because you know, a lot of our players have miles on the clock there the last couple of weeks, so we just want to keep guys fresh for the weekend. And look, we are absolutely thrilled with tonight's workout with Sunday in mind.
Brilliant. What was the message at half time, Noli, the 3-point lead? What were you telling the lads?
Yeah, look, we were very happy at half time. A couple of the targets we had set for them in the first half we had achieved, so it was just a case of going out in the second half and doing more of that, and you know, we made a lot of changes, brought on fresh legs, and you know, the lads that came on did very well as well, so it gives us a lot of selection headaches for the weekend, which is fantastic for us.
Of course. The late second goal obviously kind of brought a bit of life back into it, made it for a very exciting kind of last 5 or 10 minutes. Did you feel like you could have taken it from then on? Did you feel like it was kind of imminent that you would take the cup?
Yeah, look, Cork got totally on top. Look, we made a few changes, Cork made a few changes, the game went kind of a bit dead there for a while, but you know, Sean Hayes, he did it last year in the Fitzgibbon against DCU, came on, you know, got a vital resulted penalty, and tonight again a couple of high balls in on top of him and he caused a bit of trouble inside there, and we got a nice goal out of it, and we just needed that because the momentum of the game has gone totally against us, and you know, we clipped on a couple of scores after that, and you know, it was just good to get a win. The result wasn't too important for us tonight. It was, you know, the performance, but look, you'd always take a win at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. And Noel, I suppose just finally, I know you say it is kind of a friendly, it is a preparation for the weekend, but there was a nice crowd here tonight. This is kind of becoming an annual kind of Cork tradition. I suppose you will be happy with winning it for the second time ever with UCC.
Absolutely. You know, Tom Kingston there spoke very passionately in our dressing room about Cannon O'Brien, his association with UCC, and you know, it's great that Cork and UCC can get this game on every year. So you know, we always want to, you know, put in the best performance possible that we can, and it was great to come out here and represent UCC, and especially, you know, in Cannon's name, to put in a good performance. And you know, I hope the Cork and UCC will continue the tradition, because you can see the crowd, you know, it's great for Cork people to come along and have a look at it, and you know, hopefully it'll continue going forward.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Noel, appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Yeah, it's Noel Furlong there speaking to Ryan Grace earlier on the week after that win over Cork. A great win for UCC as they take on NUI Galway, beginning their Fitzgibbon Cup defence tomorrow. We'll have a reporter there, and we'll have reaction from both of UCC's games, the hurling and the football, on tomorrow evening's show. 61 minutes on the clock at the new White Hart Lane. Tottenham still not getting a sniff of that Liverpool goal, Tomasa.
They had one or two ventures up, but no, Liverpool are dominating possession.
They barely crossed the halfway line.
Son had another shot at goal there, but well, it didn't go on target or anything. But like I said, 60 minutes gone now. Mourinho will have to tactically change it up, and obviously kind of let Spurs off the leash. Otherwise, it's going to be a comfortable victory for the pool.
All right, as we were mentioning at the top of the show, Cork's Adam Eden made his first Premier League start today for Norwich City as they lost to Manchester United. Darren Stanage watched it.
Manchester United 4 Norwich 0. Comfortable afternoon for United then. They condemn basement club Norwich to defeat. Marcus Rashford on his 200th appearance volleyed home a peach of a matter pass midway through the first half. Norwich then had a great chance to level when Cantwell's effort was saved by De Gea. After the break, United won a penalty. Williams was felled. Rashford converted. Matter provider again for Martial, who headed on the third. And Mason Greenwood coming on to score a fine fourth to get his ninth of the season. Norwich looking big trouble. United 4, Norwich 0.
Obviously, Adam Eda making his Premier League first start today. Didn't get much of a look in, to be perfectly honest. Norwich are very, very poor. Didn't get the ball forward enough, but what a way to make a first Premier League start, and what a venue.
Yeah, brilliant for a local lad. And look, I suppose his performance in the FA Cup was phenomenal. And I saw on social media, I think Mick McCarthy was on duty for for one of the media outlets at one of the FA Cup games, and he was being pressurised into talking about Alameda, and he said, look, he may have just earned himself a cap. So look, I think the abilities that he showed, obviously the maybe not the dirt of attacking talent that Ireland have, but I suppose we need a replacement for Robbie Keane. No pressure at all at him. So look, great to see
him. Yeah, fantastic. And he's still only 18 as well. Massive future ahead of him. So fantastic stuff there from the former College Corinthians forward. We're running rapidly out of time. Just going to get an update from Limerick and Cork. It's Limerick looking like they're going to win the McGrath Cup. They lead Cork, I should say, 17 points to 15. So Cork still a bit of work to do if they're to get back and win the McGrath Cup this evening at the Gaelic grounds. I'm going to hear briefly from Spike O'Sullivan's trainer. We're going to hear briefly from Spike O'Sullivan as he prepares to face Jaime Munguia tonight at the Alamo Dome in Texas, San Antonio. But 4 a.m. this evening, we're expecting him in the ring. We'll talk about this tomorrow. We've got Kevin Byrne from the Irish Sun lined up to talk to us about Spike's fight tomorrow. But this is Spike speaking at the press conference, being introduced by the legendary Oscar De La Hoya.
With a record of 30-3, 21 knockouts, Gary, the best dressed fighter in boxing today, O'Sullivan.
Thank you, Oscar. Good evening, everybody. Everybody at Alamo Dome Stadium. It's fantastic to be back here again. I'd like to thank Golden Boy Promotions, Murphy's Boxing, Stanford Boxing, Team Munguia, and everybody for turning up here today. It's great to be here. Steve, manager. I look forward to coming here on Saturday night. You know, I'm under no illusion. Jaime Munguia, he's a great fighter, but he should be under no illusion that I've prepared really, really hard for this fight. I've made a lot of sacrifices. I recently bought my first home for my family, and I was looking forward for months to looking. I have spent my Christmas with my family at my new home, but I made a great deal of sacrifices, and I remained in training camp for all the holidays. I had Christmas Day with my family, and I went back to training camp again, and I came back for New Year's Eve with the family again. But I've been training real hard, putting everything I've got into training, and I'll be coming to win this fight on Saturday night. You know, it's non-personal. I really like Jaime. He's a good guy. You know, I met him back in Vegas in September. Very pleasant guy. I wish him good health and good luck in his life. But on Saturday night, I'm coming for war, and I'm coming to win. I look forward to putting on a great show. Thank you all.
Yes, that's Spike O'Sullivan there speaking in the press conference. A lot of mutual respect there from Spike shown towards Jaime Munguia. Spike has made no bones about it. He said it to us in our interview last week. He said it in every interview he's done this week. He needs a knockout going in here tonight. He's not going to get a decision. Jaime Munguia is the up-and-coming fighter. He's fighting practically in his own backyard in San Antonio. Spike knows he has to get a knockout tonight. He needs to go at it early. It's a big night for him. Spike has even said himself he's been brought in to lose, and he's not going to go in with that script in mind. He's going to go in and try and knock him out.
Yeah, fair play to him. Look, it's a dangerous, obviously, place for a fighter going in to try and knock out a fighter who's physically more imposing, has a bigger reach than you, and like you said, in his hometown. So look, fair play to him, good luck to him, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be celebrating a big upset with Spike having defeated the Mexican.
Yeah, certainly, fingers crossed. It's you in the ring roughly about 4 a.m. don't quote me on that though, so if you get up at 4 and the fight's over, don't be texting me complaining. Dan has texted us in. He says, how's it going, Rory? Do you know if Spike's fight is on TV tonight? It hasn't been picked up by any Irish or UK providers or satellite channels tonight. It's on the Zone in the States, and that's all we can say about that, really. So look, I'm set my alarm for 3:30, and looking forward to watching the fight tonight. As I said, we'll be discussing that with Kevin Byrne of the Irish Sun tomorrow. We are out of time. Thank you very much indeed for tuning away on on the Big Red Bench tonight. Our podcast will be online very, very shortly indeed. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have reaction from both Cork games today, reaction from both UCC games. Tomorrow, going to talk to Johnny Holland about Munster's clash with Racing 92. We're also going to bring in our preview. We're going to hear from Russell Rovers on the show tomorrow as well. Limerick 18-16 up after 65 minutes as well of the McGrath Cup. We're back tomorrow from 6 p.m. and fingers crossed tomorrow we'll be talking about a Munster win. Fingers crossed.
Come on Spike, come on Munster.
Exactly, we'll talk to you tomorrow folks. Stevie's up next and John Rest just Saturday night.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.